Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Gold. All right, and then Masechus Avodah Zarah, Daf Ein Gimel, the fifth parak, Sochas Apoel. The Zichu Masechus Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that if one pours yain nesach from a barrel into a pit of wine, even for the entire day, so the yain nesach is eventually far more than a 60th of the total, rishon batal, every first drop of yain nesach is nullified as it falls in, so the wine remains permitted. The Gemara objects that the Mishnah states, yain nesach aser va'oser b'kol shehu, yain nesach is forbidden and prohibits a mixture with even a minimal amount. Presumably, the case is the Kanafla Isuril Gohetera, where the prohibited wine fell into the permitted wine, and even a single drop prohibits the entire mixture. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah's case is the reverse, the Kanafla Hetera Lago Isura, where permitted wine fell into a prohibited wine, where each successive permitted drop of wine becomes nullified and forbidden. So the mixture is forbidden, even if the permitted amount eventually greatly exceeds the Yai Nesach. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef limits the application of rishon batal to a small pitcher whose liquid flow is small and separate. B'chavis de nafish amudei, wine poured from a barrel whose flow is large, the entire flow is considered as entering the mixture simultaneously, and the forbidden drops are not successively nullified. Point number two, Ravin quoted Rav Yochanan saying that if yain nesach fell into a pit of wine, v'nafal sham kiton shamayim, and a flask of water also fell in, roinas aheter ki ilo eino, we view the permitted wine as if it were not there, v'sham mayim rabin olav mevatin oso, and as for the remaining prohibited wine, the water overcomes it and nullifies it. He disagrees with the earlier versions Rabbi Yochanan holds a minute amount of yain nesach always prohibits wine, regardless of which fell into which. Here, however, the yain nesach does not prohibit the wine because instead, the water nullifies the yain nesach if there's not enough yain nesach to flavor the water. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda reported that Rabbi Yochanan only applies this leniency if the water actually fell before the yain nesach. If the yain nesach fell in first, matzah min es mino b'nir, the type found its own type and was awakened, so to speak, meaning the permitted wine itself becomes forbidden and cannot be permitted via the water. In another version, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says that even if the water fell afterwards, it would still nullify the yain nesach. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that yain nesach prohibits wine with a mashu, and water if it transmits flavor. It concludes, zehakol, this is the rule, min b'mino b'mashu, a forbidden substance of one type, prohibits a mixture of its own type with even a minimal amount, shelo b'mino b'nos and tam, but only prohibits another type where it gives flavor to the mixture. Rav and Shmuel say this rule applies to kol isurin shebetorah, all prohibitions in the Torah, and the Mishnah's additional clause, zehakol, means to include all isurin. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that for most prohibitions, even min b'mino only prohibits where it's nos and tam. Min b'mino only prohibits with a mashu in the cases of yain nesach and tevel, and the zehakol of the Mishnah means to add tevel. These two exceptions are explained. Yain nesach has this stringency, mishum chumra devotus kochavim, because of the severity of idolatry. These two exceptions are explained. Yain nesach has this stringency, mishum chumra devotus kochavim, because of the severity of idolatry. Tevel has this stringency because ketehero kachisuro, like it's becoming permitted, so is its prohibition. Shmuel taught that chita achas boteris is a kri, a single wheat kernel of truma exempts an entire pile from its truma obligation. Just as a minimal amount releases grain from tevel, so too a minimum amount of tevel in a mixture prohibits it. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that if one pours yain nesach from a barrel into a pit of wine, even for the entire day, so the yain nesach is eventually far more than a 60th of the total, rishon batal, every first drop of yain nesach is nullified as it falls in, so the wine remains permitted. The Gemara objects that the Mishnah states, yain nesach aser va'oser b'kol shehu, yain nesach is forbidden and prohibits a mixture with even a minimal amount. Presumably, the case is the Kanafla Isuril Gohetera, where the prohibited wine fell into the permitted wine, and even a single drop prohibits the entire mixture. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah's case is the reverse, the Kanafla Heterul Gohetera, where permitted wine fell into a prohibited wine, where each successive permitted drop of wine becomes nullified and forbidden. So the mixture is forbidden, even if the permitted amount eventually greatly exceeds the Yai Nesach. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef limits the application of rishon batal to a small pitcher whose liquid flow is small and separate. Bachavi's the nafish amudei, wine poured from a barrel whose flow is large, the entire flow is considered as entering the mixture simultaneously, and the forbidden drops are not successively nullified. Point number two, Rav quoted Rav Yochanan saying that if Yain Nesach fell into a pit of wine, v'nafal sham kiton shamayim, and a flask of water also fell in, roinas aheter ki ilu eino, we view the permitted wine as if it were not there, v'sham mayim rabin olav mevatin oso, and as for the remaining prohibited wine, the water overcomes it and nullifies it. He disagrees with the earlier versions of Rav Yochanan holds a minute amount of Yain Nesach always prohibits wine, regardless of which fell into which. Here, however, the Yain Nesach does not prohibit the wine because instead, the water nullifies the Yain Nesach if there's not enough Yain Nesach to flavor the water. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda reported that Rabbi Yochanan only applies this leniency if the water actually fell before the Yain Nesach. If the Yain Nesach fell in first, matzamin es mino benir, the type found its own type and was awakened, so to speak, meaning the permitted wine itself becomes forbidden and cannot be permitted via the water. In another version, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says that even if the water fell afterwards, it would still nullify the Yain Nesach. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that Yain Nesach prohibits wine with a mashu, and water if it transmits flavor. It concludes, Zehakol, this is the rule, min b'mino b'mashu, a forbidden substance of one type, prohibits a mixture of its own type with even a minimal amount, shelo b'mino b'nos and tam, but only prohibits another type where it gives flavor to the mixture. Rav and Shmuel say this rule applies to kol Yisurin Shebatorah, all prohibitions in the Torah, and the Mishnah's additional clause, Zehakol, means to include all Yisurin. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that for most prohibitions, even min b'mino only prohibits where it's nos and tam. Min b'mino only prohibits with a mashu in the cases of Yain Nesach and Tevel, and the Zehakol of the Mishnah means to add Tevel. These two exceptions are explained. Yain Nesach has this stringency, Mishum Chumr Devotus Kochavim, because of the severity of idolatry. These two exceptions are explained. Yain Nesach has this stringency, Mishum Chumr Devotus Kochavim, because of the severity of idolatry. Tevel has this stringency because Ketehero Kachisuro, like it's becoming permitted, so is its prohibition. Shmuel taught that Chita Achas Boteris is a Kri, a single wheat kernel of Truma, exempts an entire pile from its Truma obligation. Just as a minimal amount releases grain from Tevel, so too a minimal amount of Tevel in a mixture prohibits it. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Ayin Gimel, and this Siman was suggested to us by Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona. He suggested that Ayin Gimel are giant ostrich eggs. So here goes. At the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowing to Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, while another was amazed that water in a mixture can be mevatel, the Yain Nesach, and the third was trying to determine how much wine is needed to be nos and tam into an eggshell full of water. Once again, slow motion. At the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells? That must run daf Ayin Gimel, giant ostrich eggs. At the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly to Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, which reminds us, if one pours wine into Yain Nesach even for the entire day, so the wine is eventually far more than a 60th of the total, Rishon Batel, every first drop of wine is nullified as it falls in, so the wine remains forbidden. So at the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly into Yain Nesach, watching each drop become Batel as it fell in, while another was amazed that water in a mixture can be mevatel the Yain Nesach, which reminds us, Rav quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that if Yain Nesach fell into a pit of wine, the nafusham kiton shamayim, and a flask of water also fell in, roin is a heter ki o eino, we view the permitted wine as if it were not there, vashar mayim rabin olav mevatin oso, and as for the remaining prohibited wine, the water overcomes it and nullifies it. So at the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly into Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, while another was amazed that water in a mixture can be mevatel, the Yain Nesach, and a third was trying to determine how much wine is needed to be nos and tam into an eggshell full of water, which reminds the Gemara brings a malachos whether min b'mino is prohibited with a mashu or benos and tam, and we learn that min b'she'eno mino is benos and tam. So once again, at the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly into Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, while another was amazed that water in a mixture can be mevatel, the Yain Nesach, and a third was trying to determine how much wine is needed to be nos and tam into an eggshell full of water. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blatt Back Hazara. Daf Samach Tes. So the Simmer Daf Samach Tes is soot, and we often use a chimney sweep. So here goes. The chimney sweep, that must be more in Daf Samach Tes, soot. The chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker transporting his brushes and his wine, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches the laws of leaving wine with an idolater. If an Akum was transporting jugs of wine for a Jew from place to place, if it was in a state of supervision, it's permitted, meaning even if the Jew traveled at a distance, the Akum is afraid the Jew may appear at any moment and doesn't touch the wine. So the chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker transporting his brushes and his wine, and his assistant, the Amma Arts, who was transporting his taros, who greeted his Amma Arts friend on the way, which reminds us, if an employer told his Amma Arts workers transporting his taro produce, go ahead and I'll follow you later, then as soon as he could not see them, they're considered tame. The Gemara explains that the cases where he was matire his workers in a mikvah, so they're not matame the foods by carrying them. The concern is that ein Amma Arts makbid al mago chavero, and Amma Arts is not particular about his friends touching the owner's taros, so he may have allowed someone he met to touch them, rendering them tame. So the chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker, transporting his brushes and his wine, and his assistant, the Amma Arts, who was transporting his taros, who greeted his Amma Arts friend on the way, couldn't see that up ahead a goy was drinking from a yid's barrel of wine by putting a straw in the air hole, which reminds us, we don't leave wine barrels with the akum nowadays because of the air hole, a very small hole in the barrel's cover to allow the wine's aroma to escape. We're concerned that the akum may squeeze a straw through this hole and drink some of the wine. Daf Ayin. So the Simmer Daf Ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. After the eye doctor, that must be on Daf Ayin. After the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, which reminds us, the Gemara relates numerous incidents in which an Akum was found alone with the Jew's wine. Once in a Jew's inn which housed barrels of wine, an Akum was found sitting among the barrels. Rav ruled im nitpas lav kagana, if he would be seized because of it as a thief, meaning he would have no excuse for touching the Jew's wine, the wine is permitted because his fear of being caught prevents him from doing nisach. If he would not be considered a thief for touching the wine, it's prohibited. So after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an Amma Aretz, which reminds us, a Mishnah taught that if one gave his keys to an Amma Aretz, his tower items remained tower because he only entrusted him with guarding the key. Abai concluded, if one's taharos remained tower, in such a case, is it not obviously so regarding Yain Nesach as well? The Gemara infers from Abai's language that taharos are stricter than Yain Nesach. So after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an Amma Aretz, he tested him by looking at a picture of a legion of soldiers entering a city during peacetime and count the open barrels of wine that became Yain Nesach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Boleshes Shenichnasa Le'ir. If a legion of soldiers entered a city, B'Shah Shalom, if it was during peacetime, the open barrels are prohibited and the sealed ones are permitted. Since it was peacetime, they had time to perform Nisach with wine from the open barrels. The sealed barrels were presumably not open since soldiers would not bother to reseal barrels. B'Shah's Milchama, however, if they came during wartime, both types of barrels are permitted, Levi She'en Panay L'Nasach, because there's no time during a war to make libations. Daf Ein Av. So the Simmer Daf Ein Av is a donkey because donkeys go E-Aw. So here goes. When the man giving donkey rides, that must be on Daf Ein Av. E-Aw. When the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king so I can give my donkey rides and I will pay you back. Which reminds us, Rav said it's permitted for a Jew to tell an idolater, go and satisfy the king's tax for me, which I'll reimburse. Although the Akum may pay with Yain Nesach, since he could pay with money, he's not acting as a Jew shaliach if he chooses to pay with Yain Nesach. So when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides, and I'll pay you back, the goy did meshicha on some Yain Nesach to pay the tax, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas, whether meshicha is kona by Ovid Kochavim. So when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides, and I'll pay you back, the goy did meshicha on some Yain Nesach to pay the tax, but then got into trouble when he stole less than a shava prutim from a yid, rendering himself Chai Misa, which reminds us, Ravina brought proof that Mashiach is Kona for Anakum from Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Ben Noach Nerag al Pachas Meshava Pruta. A Ben Noach is executed for stealing from a Jew something worth less than a Pruta's value, and the stolen item is not subject to being returned. Although this amount is insignificant for a Jew, it's significant for a Gentile and sufficient to incur the Ben Noach's death penalty for stealing. Still, because the Jew is mocho the small loss, the Ben Noach need not return it. If Mashiach would not acquire for Anakim, why is he killed for stealing if he did not acquire the stolen item? Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simur Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The caterer who told a customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, that must be on Daf Ayin Beis, thick piece of cake. The caterer who told a customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, I'll sell it to you, and then sold it to someone else, which reminds us, once a man told someone, if I ever sell this field, I'll sell it to you, and made a kinyan on this guarantee. Later, he sold it to someone else. Rav Yosef said, kana kama, the first one acquires the field because of their agreement. Abai objected, but he didn't set a price for the sale, so the guarantee isn't effective, meaning the buyer was not fully committed since the seller can ask an exorbitant price. So the caterer who told his customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, I'll sell it to you, and then sold it to someone else, had his Jewish employee pour wine for idolaters and spurts, because he held Nitzuk Chibur regarding Yain Nesach, which reminds us, Rav Chista advised Jewish wine sellers to pour for idolaters and spurts to avoid prohibiting their own wine, because he held Nitzuk Chibur regarding Yain Nesach. So the caterer who told the customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, I'll sell it to you, and then sold it to someone else, had his Jewish employee pour wine for idolaters and spurts because he held Nitzuk Chibur regarding Yain Nesach, but failed to stop his non-Jewish employee from pouring wine from a barrel into a wine pit, where the flow descending from the barrel's edge and downward became forbidden due to the employee's koach, which reminds us, wine poured with the koach of an akum only prohibits what comes out of the barrel. Since wine moved by an akum's force is prohibited only rabbinically, wine which went outside the barrel, the rabbis decreed to prohibit, but regarding that which remained inside the barrel, the rabbis did not decree to prohibit it. All right, so now it's time to cook with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we machok is whether Mashiach is kona by Ovid Kochavim? That's on daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that Rishon Batel? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss the din of nos and tum of gum in a case where a mouse fell into some beer? That's on daf Samaches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that if Yain Nesek fell into a pit of wine and a flask of water also fell in, we view the permitted wine as if it were not there, and it's for the remaining prohibited wine, the water overcomes it and nullifies it. That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good.
Number 5.
Which daf do you discuss whether Nitzuk Chibur regarding Yain Nesek? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good.
Number 6.
Which daf do we learn that wine poured with the koach of an akum only prohibits what comes out of the barrel? That's on daf Ayin Beis.
Good.
Number 7. Which daf do we learn that min b'she'eno mino is benos and tam? That's on daf Ayin Gimel.
Good.
Number 8. Which daf do we learn that we do not leave wine barrels with an akum nowadays because of the air hole? That's on daf Samachtes.
Good.
Number 9. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if an akum was found sitting among the barrels of wine in a Jew's inn? That's on daf
Ayin.
Good. Number 10. Which daf do you learn that if a mixture only includes a forbidden food's flavor but not its substance, such as melted chalav that fell into a pot of food, it's prohibited but one does not incur malchus for it? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichri wishing you a great day and great learning.